Laurie said that she knew of a woman, the name of Julia Ingram, who was a hypnotherapist who specialized in past life regression. And she asked me, would I be willing to meet with Julia to see whether or not we'd be willing to pursue the possibility of my being hypnotized and age regressed?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, I met with Julia a week later, the three of us did, and we agreed to do that, George. But I had never read the New Testament, and we both agreed, and Julia wasn't familiar with it either. I mean, Julia was a very professional woman. She wasn't she was more like a professor in a college, a very, very sophisticated woman, mm-hmm. not a New Age person. And she said, Nick, I'm not going to write down any questions in advance. Let's just play it by ear and see what happens. Well, we spent the next 6 months capturing on tape 26 hours of a lifetime of 2,000 years ago through my soul memory.
That's immense.
Yes, it began with my running through, with Paul, the Apostle Paul, running through his father's fields in the region of Cilicia, outside of the outskirts of Tarsus, chasing sheep. And then when Paul was 18 years old, he finished his education. He moved to the Holy Land. And he changed, at that time, he changed his name. His real name was Paulus, by the way, not Paul.
Right.
It would have been spelled P-A-L-U-S in English. And he changed his name to Saul when he got to the Holy Land because he wanted people to think of him as a Hebrew rather than a Roman citizen, because his father had, there were three ways one could become a Roman citizen in those days. One was to purchase it. And his father had purchased Roman citizenship for his family. But when he was 21 years old, he met Jesus, who was 23 years old. And what I found out during my 26 hours of hypnosis, many, many things that are missing in the New Testament about the life of Paul and the life of Jesus, that theologians contacted me after the first book was written, George, and wanted me to get more information. But I also found out in many places which are conflicted with the New Testament. And I was puzzled why this was, because when I began to do talk shows back then, I would find out people saying, well, wait a minute, that's not what it says in the New Testament. So I spent years of research to find out why there was such a discrepancy. Now, some of the things that were different were not really important things there were many important things that I want to share with your listeners tonight and you, George, that literally changed the teachings of Jesus and Paul dramatically. But some of the simple things, like, for example, Joshua, by the way, his name wasn't Jesus 2,000 years ago, it was Joshua. And in the 4th century, they changed his name to Jesus, which is the Latin translation of the name Joshua. Well, he didn't grow up in Nazareth. Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth. They actually grew up in Capernaum. And Capernaum is on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, which is really a lake, not a sea. It was called at that time Lake Tiberias, after the Emperor Tiberius.
Right.
And that's where Jesus grew up. He grew up in Capernaum, and that's why his first 9 disciples that he gathered together were fishermen. That were fishermen along the Sea of Galilee.
Now, when you were there, were you there as a spectator or were you an apostle?
You mean on hypnosis?
Yeah.
Do they know?
Okay. Do they know what your role was back 2,000 years ago?
Did I know what my role was?
Yeah.
Before Paul became an apostle, I didn't know he was becoming an apostle. An apostle comes from the ancient word apostolos, which means a teacher. And then you didn't actually have apostles until after Joshua had died. That's when people became apostles. Before that, they were disciples.
Followers, right?
Right. Well, the word disciples comes from the ancient word discipulus, which means pupils. So Paul's relationship with Joshua was a one-on-one relationship, because at that time only about 10% of the people were capable of reading and writing. 90% of the people were illiterate, and Paul was very educated. So his relationship with Joshua was quite different than those of the other disciples at that time, and that's why he's not mentioned in the Gospels, because he wasn't one of them. But at any rate, there were many things that I found out which are not in the Gospels. For example, people didn't have last names back in those days. They would call them Jacob, the son of Abraham, or Jacob, the son of Isaac, because they could identify them by their father in terms of which Jacob they were talking about, because they didn't have last names. Now, the reason Mary Magdalene is called Magdalene is not because it's her last name. That's because she was Magdala.
Okay, Nick, let me ask you this though, because I don't want to get into the biblical history here.
Okay,
I'm more interested in what's been going on with you and why people are seeing angels behind you, and has this been happening to you since you went to the psychic and you've gone through the regression?
Well, it happened to me when after my first book that you mentioned, the messengers, which I was a subject matter of,
right.
Went into print. And I began the tour around the country, and I'm not clairvoyant. I cannot see into the spiritual world, but every place I went to, every city, whether it was New York or Washington D.C. or Los Angeles or Chicago, every city I went to, there was always people afterwards that would, when I was signing books for people, that there were people that weren't sitting together, they would say to me that they saw me standing behind me. An angel that was 7 feet tall and lavender in color, lavender, they were dressed in lavender. It was always consistent, always consistent. For example, there was one time I was in Naples, Florida, and my very dear friend Ruth Montgomery, which I'm sure you're familiar with Ruth's work. She was wonderful, wonderful authoress who's passed on since now. I don't believe in death. Her spirit and soul has made a transition. And I was speaking at the Unity Church in Naples, and I got a letter about a week later from a gentleman. I could tell he was quite elderly because his handwriting was shaking, and he told me he was quite elderly. And he told me that when he walked into the sanctuary of the chapel, he said the energy was so tremendous the claws were sticking to his body. But he said, while you were talking, he said, I saw something that absolutely amazed me. And he took off his glasses, he said, and he wiped them and put it back on, and he proceeded in his letter describing exactly the same 7-foot angel in lavender.
Jeez. Now, how many people would see that at the same time?
Generally, it would average about 8 people scattered around the audience.
That's a lot.
And as I say, I'm not clairvoyant, George, so I've never seen an angel myself personally.
What was so special about them, Nick, that allowed them to see this?
I think they must have had some clairvoyance in them. There are some people that have that ability of clairvoyance, although not many. And, you know, the audience might have like 1,000 people or 1,500 people in it. And we're talking about maybe just 4% of the people would be able to see the vision of the angel standing behind me. I could feel the presence, but I couldn't see the angels.